Readings this morning are quite challenging, giving us things to do, things to think about. I remember when our daughters were at school, the rentree weeks were quite interesting, especially one week when they came home and they had made a list of do's and don'ts for well-being in the classroom. I expect some of us have also lived through that when we have children in the French school system. So our three readings this morning, I've chosen particularly to focus on Romans. Otherwise, I could preach here until next week, until the barbecue. But I've decided to take the passage from Romans today. Paul starts off here in verse 8 with not only a word of wisdom, but also a requirement for us as Christians. He starts off with those words, "Let no debt remain outstanding." God expects and demands that we as Christians be responsible with the money that he gives us. Why is this so important? Well, God knows that if we are foolish with his money, when we spend beyond our means, that what usually happens is the first one that we neglect because of our financial mistakes is him. Now, I believe that in this day and age, we're probably going to have some debt. But how deep we get into debt, and in some cases, making sure that we completely repay the debt, is where the problem lies. Homes are expensive. Cars are expensive, life is expensive, and we need to be able to provide for ourselves and our families. But the point is to make these purchases within our means and not beyond our means. God provides for all of us in different ways and in different amounts. And within this, we have to live according to his provision, remembering to always give back to him who has provided for us. If we live beyond what he's provided, what we're actually saying is, God, I'm not happy with what provisions you have given me, and I deserve more. That me concept that is not in any way a Christian concept. I'm much better at it now, but that's mostly thanks to my husband, but also thanks to God. I always used to live buying things in installments. It used to be I've bought it in installments, so that I ended up having to pay out a lot of installments for things, which sometimes made paying my taxes rather difficult. After a while, since I became a Christian, I realized that that wasn't really the way to do it, and I had to be more responsible with what God had given me. I found that in doing that, God trusts us with even more. Verse 8, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." We see here the general call to Christians to love our fellow men and women, both Christian and non-Christian, of course. And we're called to love in order to repay a debt that's never-ending, the debt that we owe to God and to Christ for their love for us, not only for our salvation, but literally for everything that we have. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This is the debt of love that we must repay for the rest of our lives with everything that we have. This love is truly powerful. The love that we're called to have is so powerful that we are told that by loving, we're fulfilling the requirements of the Old Testament law. that by loving, we should naturally fulfill the law because we love. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. You notice Paul only states 4 of the 10 commandments and then says, and whatever other commandment there may be. Well, I doubt very much as if he'd forgotten the others. But the point is that the commandments weren't the focus. The focus in his teaching is through our love for others, we couldn't possibly sin against them if our love is pure. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, the lawyer comes to Jesus and asks him, which is the greatest commandment? And I read that those verses out just before confession, because Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. The 4 commandments Paul mentions here, you'll notice, all start with don't. Do not. Do not do sinful things to others. So he did pick 4, so let's take a quick look at them. Genesis 39, 6 to 9, gives us a great story about Joseph and how he understood and applied do not commit adultery in his situation with the wife of Potiphar. Joseph was well built, handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But Joseph refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? The second commandment mentioned, do not murder. The destruction of another person, we are called not to murder. We're also called not to harm, not to put down others with words, not to cause anything negative on another person. No, we're called instead to love, to build up, to motivate, to show concern, to care for, and to edify others in every way that we can. The third commandment Paul mentions is do not steal. Well, there are many ways to steal. We can steal from an employer by not giving our best at work. We steal if we own a business and overcharge for services or give a poor quality product. There are many ways to steal. Sometimes we don't give of our best. We do something which is good enough. But we should be giving back to God from all that he's given us and doing our best towards all people. The fourth commandment Paul mentions is do not covet. Now, this is a hard one. We're always coveting. I'm often coveting when I look in magazines, see handbags. I have a thing about handbags, as some of you know. And I think that I've got to have the handbag that I've just seen in the magazine. I saw it last week, actually. I've already started negotiating with my husband to say I do need another handbag. But the problem is, and the reality is that actually I don't. I've got lots of handbags. We're bombarded with commercials, advertising, wherever we go. Companies know we're gullible for just about anything. It's also important to keep in mind that through our love for others, we will not only not do sinful things, but we will do good things. Our love for others is something that we put into action. It's not a love that just sits still. It is a love of action. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So a sign of a Christian will be that you will show love when the Holy Spirit is within you. Sometimes we don't feel like loving somebody. That's also always a challenge. Happens to me too. And I think what I do, I know what I do in those circumstances is that I pray to God and ask God to fill me with his love for that person and let that love flow through me. Then I'm putting myself right with God and I can eventually love the person. Verse 11 said, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It's sad to say that many who call themselves Christians are just sitting around day after day, not really concerned about when they might decide to get up and start doing some of these things that God truly commands us to do. We need to understand that we never know when God may decide to take us home, or that maybe even Christ may return. We may find that if we're not careful, we may be at the end of our lives one day, breathing our last breath, and as we're looking back at our lives on this earth, taking all into account, we may find that we forgot something. We may find that we forgot to wake up from our lives to do what it was that God had called us to do. And God has called us to be good and faithful servants in the building of his kingdom. Now, how long have you been a Christian? How long has it been? I remember listening to a bishop preach once in St. Michael's. And he talked and he asked us this very same question. And he said that when we became Christians, we were like a seed in a small pot. But as the years go by, that seed sprouted and grew and grew and grew. And so if we'd been a Christian 20 years, that faith, that tree, has to be something substantial. And it was a big challenge. Because I thought to myself, well, I have been a Christian a long time, but is my tree up to scratch? How long has it been, and what have you sown and reaped for God in that amount of time? What fruit have you produced? It's a good idea once a year, why not at the rentrée, to think about which year we're in. Do we have to doubler the l'année, as in French schools, if you don't get good enough marks, you have to do the year again. Where are we with God? Verse 11, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We'll all one day be face to face with our Saviour. And he'll take account of our lives for us to see how faithful we've been. And if we've been faithful, he'll smile and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. But if we let our lives pass by, not waking up from our sleep, then as he said in Matthew 25, verse 26, he will say, you wicked, lazy servant. And I would imagine at that point, the overwhelming sadness and disappointment of this would completely consume us as we realize that our lack of zeal for the one who saved us from all eternity actually meant nothing. So today is the day, it's the rentrée. Brothers and sisters, it's time to wake up, to be enriched by the daily servanthood of being what it is God has called you to be. God has called you to be good and faithful servants. You have a very good reason to wake from the slumber that we're in. If you've never been part of bringing a person to faith, to see their love for Christ consume them, once you will regain that passion for serving that will last a lifetime. When we pray and we see answers to prayer, when we show love to our neighbors, when we show love to ourselves, when we grow in Christ, this is what makes the difference. Verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So the challenge for this rentrée is, let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, let's clothe ourselves with Lord Jesus Christ and not think anymore about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are an almighty God, that at the same time you love us so much, that we are part of your family and we are your children. Father, inspire us so that we grow in you. Help us to stay awake in you, Lord. Help us not to get lazy and just to sit back and let you do all the work. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice for us, and we know that this is a debt that can never be totally repaid, that we do all the things that we do now in love for you, Lord. Fill us all again by your Holy Spirit with your love for you, your love for each other, and love for ourselves. Inspire us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.